Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark Ramsey. I really appreciate that.
So many questions I must ask myself today. I wonder if Jesus thinks I've done my share today. Will I wake up in the morning to find regrets upon my mind? Will I leave a trace of Jesus somewhere? So many questions I must ask myself today.
So many questions.
What will I leave behind when life has passed my way? Will people remember my name or forget me all the same? Will I leave a trace of Jesus somewhere?
I'm asking myself these questions every day of my life. My God, have I done that? Have I been that? Will I continue to be that towards everybody I meet? Hi, thank you for joining me for the Sunday morning webcast here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, on this June the 2nd, 2013, Sunday morning. And you know the drill. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says that all of us should sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. I love this scripture. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. This is what God says. If you offer praise, you glorify me. Oh, that's just so wonderful. I love that. It was said as I look back into my ancient readings, and I think I'd like to start off today's webcast with this scripture, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. Because you see, that's what our Christian faith is all about in reality. We're all looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for that heaven that all of us have heard so much about. And upon my readings, I was reading a letter that someone wrote to the old-fashioned Revival Hour broadcast. A guy named Charles E. Fuller used to do that broadcast in radio years ago. And I found this interesting note that was written to him. And it goes like this. Next Sunday, you're going to talk about heaven. I am interested in that land because I have held a clear title deed to a bit of property there for over 55 years. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money and without price. But the donor, Jesus Christ, purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. For more than half a century, I've been sending up materials for which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me. It suits me perfectly and will never grow old. My eternal dwelling stands almost completed and ready for me to enter in and abide in peace without fear of being rejected. Now, when I read that, I said, yeah, that's me. Do I have visions of a mansion in heaven? No. Visions of a house, a car, of wealth in heaven? No. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I believe that in preparation for that place, since Christ has called me and I have been obedient to those things that he has called me to perform, that I also have a place there. There is a valley of deep shadows between the place where I live and the place that I'm going to journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in that city of gold without passing through the dark valley of the shadows. And I'm talking about the shadow of death. And most of us as Christians know that in order for us to get to this grand place where God has promised us that we will be, and practically every religion has this as a goal or objective. You want to go to paradise. Yes, I believe in paradise. I believe, well, Jesus said it to the thief on the cross. There were three men being crucified. One man was cussing Jesus out. Jesus was there, dying as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the whole entire world, beyond any human comprehension to even understand what that's all about. And then Jesus said to one of the thieves that would not mock him and rebuke him, he said, I say unto you that today you shall be with me in paradise. That is what I look forward to when I leave this planet. Ah, but I'm not afraid, my friend, because my best friend that I ever had, my Savior, he went through the same valley and shadow of death long, long ago. Oh, yes. And when he did that, he drove away all of the gloom. I hold his promise in printed form in the Word of God, the Bible, never to leave me, never to forsake me. So I shall not lose my way when he is with me. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I bet the guy that wrote this note to him was waiting to hear that sermon on Sunday morning to have assurance about whether or not he was going to heaven. But he says that his ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey and no permit for baggage. In other words, I don't know when my date on going to heaven is going to be. Going to be with the Lord is going to be. And I know naked I came into this world and naked I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to be able to take anything out of this world with me when I head for heaven, my eternal home. I'm going to go just like I came in, but naked before God, he knowing me. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday, Johnny, if you listened to yesterday's webcast, and I was talking about all of the years that I had been. As a matter of fact, Johnny's coming by my house today. A wonderful gift is given to me. It's a great study chair. You know, I like sitting in my living room listening to nice music as I grade the papers and do the work of a professor now. And then I needed a comfortable chair to write when I have my laptop in my lap, a comfortable chair. And while I was visiting John yesterday, one of his neighbors had set out this beautiful chair, just beautiful, as trash in the front. He lives in a part of, he lives in Chevette Hills, okay, in that section of Los Angeles. And so, you know, folk got money over there. And they were setting it out, and she said, oh, yes, we just didn't need it anymore. And so I said, wonderful. And Johnny's on the way this morning to drop it off by the house. And I prepared a place in the living room for it. It's just perfect, perfect, because I have papers to grade and things to coordinate. And I'm cutting down on my guests, my friends coming by to visit me, because I'm a very busy man. But yes, yes, I'm all ready to go. If I should die before he gets here with that beautiful chair and he has someone helping him deliver it, because of course I can't put it in my little car. Listen, I am ready to go because I've been preparing ever since that great day in 1967 when he revealed himself to me. I've always been preparing to go. That's why I live the way that I live. I speak the way that I speak. I enjoin you to be the person that you ought to be, because Christ is coming back for his church. Oh, yes, one without spot or wrinkle. But I know that each of us have enough wrinkles and spots on our garments. Most of our garments are just as filthy as they have ever been. But isn't it a wonderful thing when you honor God to extol him? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 50, verse 23. Do I offer praise to God? Do I offer thanksgiving to him? On this Sunday morning, when I would be preaching in the church that I was pastoring, on this Sunday morning, bringing another wholesome message, and so that the hearts of the hearers will be gladdened, made happy as they listen to it. This Sunday morning, I have a world of secular work to complete and to bring to a completion, and so that I can start another secular event. But not before I come in this studio and do the Lord's bidding. Ah, my friends, this is a sure, sweet hope that each of us, as every believer in Christ, should have. We too have in printed form, in his holy, unalterable word, promises. Now, the inevitable question is that I'd like to ask you is, are you ready? Am I ready? Because when that date comes, and each of us will, absolutely will, meet that date of death, of dying, can we say with the inspired Apostle Paul, I am now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. You can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Can you say that? Oh, I love the way Paul speaks about this. He says, having a desire to depart. He was talking about dying. See, this isn't this newfangled Christianity where everybody wants to live, where everybody wants to get some stuff, where everybody wants to have power. And you know what? Something else that Johnny told me, he told me that when he went in Will's classroom, when he was teaching the men in the church, I won't give his last name, most of you know who he is. When he went in his classroom, he was teaching the male college students in my church. Will was telling the guys, now listen, everything that is said in this classroom stays here, and you're not to talk about it anywhere. Johnny said that he interrupted and said, oh, no, oh, no. Whatever you teach has to go by Pastor John and has to be, man, these guys didn't come here under Will's tutelage. What kind of stuff was that? No, listen, I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. That's in Philippians 1:23. It's far better than putting up with inconsistencies and control by men. Don't ever be controlled by men when it comes to God. You have to understand that. For many, many, many years, I placed myself under that horrible reign of terror. Don't ever do that. Don't ever allow that to take place. Now, let me share something else. We are told to show forth the Lord's death until he comes. As we do this in freshness of our soul and glad expectancy, and this is where and how we live, we shall be kept looking for that blessed hope. With Christ, O happy, blissful thought, not only heaven, but with our Lord. When he descends and we are upward caught, with him forever, faithful is his word. This is what it's all about, my friends. It's about nothing more, nothing less. It is not about how much money you have. It is not about how rich you are. It is not about how people make you feel when you're in the crowd of worshiping believers. It is about who you are in Jesus Christ and what that is all about. Now, that's why that wonderful record that I played at the beginning of the presentation by Sherman Andrus, Questions, so many questions I have to ask myself today. Yes. Do you think like that? I wonder if Jesus would be pleased with what I said and what I do. I'm telling you, I can't get the pastor out of me because I try to get up Sunday mornings and I said, okay, you can get a lot of secular work done here and let's get it done. And then I looked at my bike and I had my bike riding outfit. I said, I can put that on. I can go riding. But then the studio was calling me, hollering at me, screaming at me, trying to tell me. There are some people out there that listened to yesterday's webcast, and John, and they're kind of fickle and taken back. Well, as you listen to the webcast that I do every day, you're going to be fickle and taken back because I'm trying to drive home to you who you are, what life is all about, what each of us go through, the pain, the agony, and the defeat. In our Christian sense, and of course, the main objective is the victory that we have in the propitiation that our Savior has given us that can lift us up to a higher plateau, a greater plane. This is what it's all about. My friends, if we can come clean with it, if we can come clean with Him as He manifests to us His Spirit, oh, how grand it is to be a believer. And how grand it is to be a believer that has come full cycle, full circle. One thing that I guess it's a problem that I have. I don't know how to run down another Christian. If some of my foreign Christian brothers and sisters listen to me from countries like China, because they can get this webcast if they have the right kind of equipment, they can get it. And if they understand English and if they can download it, oh, my wonderful Christian brothers and sisters, I love you guys so much in foreign countries because it is unheard of you running each other down, castigating shame upon each other, the way these so-called Christians do in America. Materialism has spoiled us. Materialism. Over the years, I think about this friendship that I've developed with my buddy Johnny, and he's on the way as I speak, bringing a piece of furniture for my house that's going to look beautiful in my living room. Just beautiful. And when we saw it sitting out in the front of his neighbor's house, just for anybody to come down the street and pick it up, because in Chevette Hills, when they set out furniture and stuff like that, it's not all beat up, torn up, pillows all worn. Them folks just get tired of looking at that beautiful stuff and get rid of it and go get another one. That's what people with money do. When I saw the one little seat there, I said, that is a beautiful piece of furniture there. And the ladies that sent it out said, oh, well, you need the pillows to go along with it. And I said, my goodness, it's just what the Lord would have me have for my living room. Now, I didn't have to pay a penny for it. Didn't even have to go pick it up. Now, where does that come from? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Have you ever read that verse in the Bible that says, you don't have to worry about what you need or what you want, because the Lord will take care of that in the flash of a hat. Yeah, that was Johnny, and he was saying, we're pulling off right now. Isn't that amazing? You're pulling off right now with that piece of furniture? My God shall supply all of my needs, not my wants, my needs, according to what? According to his riches and glory. Will God provide your needs if you are not perfect, like some people think you ought to be perfect? No, he didn't put that thing on there. Will God provide your needs if you're just like everybody else in the religious community? That no. He will provide the needs for me as I offer praise and glorify him. It has nothing to do with how you live. It has something to do with how I live towards him. I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to get you to become independent of anyone. Love on a level that is so rich and beautiful to you that it gives you goosebumps. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Love everybody you meet on that level. The only thing that I dislike this morning are pigeons, because they keep making a roost on a little crevice. I'm going to have to call some professionals up, because I thought that I'd blocked them off, those birds. They're very smart birds. They come back. I want a BB gun to shoot them, but I don't want to get like that. But that would really help, to get a nice BB pistol and boom, boom, boom. But people, I don't want to shoot. I want to love. And I want you to love them the way that I love them. I do not understand anyone that calls himself a pastor and does not love people on the level that a pastor should love them. A pastor loves all of his congregants. You know, if you watch that movie Luther, it's the most recent one that came out I forget his name, but watch the movie Luther and see the passion that he had for the people based upon Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King didn't have the passion for the people. He had passion for a lot of the women. Mm-hmm. While he was married. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not saying that the movement that he was involved in was not a great movement. We had the holiday, and I recognize that, but I also recognize what he was. And he couldn't help what he was, because that's what he was. I used to say that the man wasn't a Christian. I had to change my mind on that. I had to change my mind. Only after years and years of contemplation, thought. Because I'm almost 70 years old, people. I haven't changed my mind about God. But I have changed my mind about the opinions that I have of men that I picked up from other men. And when you pick up the opinions of other men about men, that makes you frightened. If you walk outside of the boundaries of what God is doing, God is saying, I have in this world individuals that are doing things for my cause, for the praise of my glory, for the embeddement of certain people. Martin Luther King Jr., I don't see his death as a savior, but I think that his death was an indication that this country's racial hatred was so bent that they would kill anybody to stop the progression of any persons over other persons. Thank God that era is over. I lived in that era, and I am grateful for the sacrifices that many African-American people have made on my behalf, in my place, where I could not do it, where I would not do it. They stood in the gap and did it. I understand because, see, my mentor would never have a Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the church, and I understand why an awful lot of black churches have that, because they want black people to know. This is kind of like a sacrifice that this man made, because Southern Christian Leadership Conference told him that somebody's going to have to die, man. And they said, we'll take care of Coretta and your children. Unfortunately, you see what happened there. Inner fightings amongst themselves and the foundation. Man, they can barely keep the fountain going. But that's neither here nor there. That's a problem with my people. That's been a problem for years. But, you know, even with God, we can be helped. And so I've changed my views on a lot of things that I used to be adamant about. If you look at some of my old clips, you're going to hear me preaching about things and boom, 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 boom. That was because of the influence of evangelicism. See, and that's why I'm not going to take those things off YouTube. I want to leave them up. Because I think, you know, I was watching a couple of clips last night, and I said, you know what, this was some good work. It was a good work. The time put in was good. I'm looking at these other tapes. Hopefully, during the summer vacation here, I can put up some more YouTube clips. I have so many teachings that I have when I did stand-up seminars and things like that that can be so beneficial to a lot of people. It's just going to take time for me to do it. I'm grateful to God for the health and the strength to be able to do it and all of that. But above all, let me say this. Above all, I want you to keep in mind that I have in my mind a certain hopeful expectation that I will see my Lord face to face. I mean face to face, to bow my knee to Him and to humbly submit my life for an eternity to His blessed causes, to whichever way of my pathetic spirit can be of any assistance to the God that created me and created this wonderful earth and this planet in the afterlife, to be somewhere with them, not sitting on a cloud, plucking on a harp, not just sitting at the feet of Jesus, gazing into a pair of blue eyes and blonde hair and mesmerized by a scene that comes out of Germany prior to World War I. Not that. That is not the Savior that I look to. My Savior is black nor white. My Savior has no ethnicity that I am to cling to. My Savior is beyond this planet, away from here. I know it to be true. I cannot prove it. The only thing that I can do is to live up to what He says, thou shalt not, John. Oh, but God, I'm moved by, oh, I know, John, what you're moved by. But I said, thou shalt not. Oh, but God, life isn't good to me. It isn't treating me. It doesn't matter, John. Thou shalt not. If you want to go to that place, if you want to go to that place that you so looking for, what blessed hope, John? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, John. Thou shalt not. If you do not have, my friend, that kind of determination, so deep down in your breast, deep down in you, to hold you together, to hold you in a position of surety. And please, don't be fooled by your health and by the money and the wealth and everything that you have. Because, my friend, each of us are going to come to that place when our bodies break down. I know here about a year or so ago, I came to that thing. I thought that I was dying. And it was absolutely marvelous to say to God, I am ready to go. And that's a wonderful thing to say. I know. It sounds strange, doesn't it? And that's just the way it is, man. You know? We have to live that way. Talking about ready to go. All right, here's some guys that's going to, you know, kind of like point it out to you what it's all about. Are you ready to go? Listen.
Ready to go. Yes, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Going on home.
Get on board. I want to take you home. This is something that God wants. He wants to reunite with us in fellowship eternally, where we can be in His presence, however that is, and whatever that means. But the point is, you got to be ready. Ready to go. Listen. Sing it, brothers. Come on, man. Hey. Yeah. Come on, sing it, boys. Yeah.
Ready to go, going on home.
You better sing it, boy. See, it is what a man is not ashamed to talk about. You know, when a man has said, "Man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home to meet God. Not afraid. Not afraid of dying." I mean, you know, people love life so much. They can love life so. Oh, I'm sorry. That's from an old album. Very old, 1981. It was a. Some kind of conglomeration or something like that with Dallas Home, Tim Shepard, and Phil Johnson. They were top of the charts in 1981 in contemporary Christian music. This is from an album entitled Home, Shepard, and Johnson. And I'm looking at that. My goodness, Dallas Home has on a gold bracelet on his arm on the album, just like I have on me right now. And a thin gold chain, too. Wow, how about that? Huh. I like that. It's good looking at these old albums, these old pictures, and and seeing what the music can do to you, you know, I can, listen, thank you so much for coming to the website. I hope that this very short, but I think important webcast has helped you on this Sunday morning. Hope that it starts you on your day. If you're living in the Southern California area, it's kind of an overcast here, but it should clear up later on this afternoon. The coastal cloud should burn off. They're having that kind of weather nowadays, but it doesn't matter because it was just gorgeous yesterday. And it's a great day for me to finish grading final exams and to get ready tomorrow to give two more final exams. It's been good. So thank you so much for tuning into the webcast. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and concern for me. Waiting to hear from you. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.